Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. This is our second recording of the night. Actually, it's international break, so still we're going to count it as an episode. It's season 9, episode 12, although we've just recorded episode 11, talking about Crystal Palace. But so we didn't bore John and George to death talking about ticketing, we thought we'd do a separate podcast because it's created a lot of interest, the ticketing subgroup that Nigel and I attended. And if you don't know about it, the official supporters group, the West Ham official supporters group by the club, of which I'm a member, had a ticketing subgroup last Wednesday. Five members of the OSB joined. Myself, I was the chair. We had Trevor from who represent disabled people. We had David Baker, who's the chair of the OSB. We had Alex, who represents Claret members, and who am I forgetting? Or is that, that's it for the OSB members? And then we had five invited non-members, and each of those non-members had previously applied to be on the OSB. I'm one of them is away season ticket holder. It's not my job to say their names, etc. So they haven't given me the permission. One of them, Nigel, and he'd already come out on that. So one away season ticket holder, but three of the five had high points. So two of them had over 20 points in priority points and were season ticket holders. And Nigel, you've got quite a few points yourself, although I know you don't want to say how many you've got. A lot was said about this meeting. In the run-up to the meeting, I was asked to postpone the meeting. The club was under pressure. There were some stories from WISA suggesting that, you know, the meeting was going to try and abolish away season ticket holders completely or abolish priority points, which was just rubbish. That was followed up with some stuff on KUMB and on social media. And I spent the week beforehand getting messages both via email, talking to people on the phone, and receiving direct messages and public messages on social media telling me to postpone the meeting and that I couldn't abolish away season ticket holders, etc. Most of this was fantasy, I must add. You know, I'm told the rumour started at Bournemouth, and the rumour went round that there was a plan to abolish season ticket holders. Well, news to me, news to the club. I'm not going to point fingers of where this all started, but some people have got more to gain than others, and I'm not in the game of name calling. So let's talk about what really did happen at the meeting. Nigel, you were there.
Should I start by saying, actually, I've about how I think it all started and what it stems from. And
go on then.
Perhaps I'm a bit culpable. I was invited, as I had applied for the OSAB. My application was turned down, as I suspected it would be, because on
your
my
name was taken off.
Yeah, because my application, I've got photographs of my application approved where I criticised the club, criticised the OSB and said what fans want is the truth, and if you give them the truth, then while you may be criticised for it, at least it's the truth and fans know what's really going on.
Well, Sir Trevor and Carlton Cole must not have liked that then.
Well, perhaps not. But anyway, I didn't expect to get on writing what I did, but I stood by it. So then, I get invited as the next application person. Thought it'd be, fun to attend one more. I'm trying not to get involved, but ticketing, I've got a good knowledge of how ticketing works and how to play the system, because I'll openly admit, people, believe me, in the past, I played the system very well. And that's why I've got a good wealth of knowledge on how ticketing works. Don't play the system no more. Perhaps that's age, but when I was younger, I did beat West Ham many a time. So, poacher turned gamekeeper, whatever you want to throw at me. But when I go to these things, I do take them seriously. I realise I'm going there. I'm not saying, I'm going to represent fans, but I feel the need to communicate with fans to hear get as much feedback from fans as possible. There's a lot of people on the OSAB that you never hear from. And I don't like that. You always say what's going on, Sean. Dave Baker, for his sins, he goes about it a different way, but he's always public. You don't hear from other people. And that's not me, because I think if you're going in there, you've got to engage with the people. I did that the way I always do it now, which is through my West Ham Till I Die column. So I asked for people to give me the feedback on away tickets. We've got to understand the way, and my article focused primarily on away tickets because that's what I thought was the big upsetting thing, even though the meeting was about all ticketing. After that article, in the comments section, a few people said about scrapping the away season tickets. Because they felt
in comments, just in to be clear, that's section,
in the comment section,
of which there are over 1,100 and something.
Well, anyway, in the comment section, there was a few people that said about scrapping away season tickets. Basically, what they're saying is that everybody that goes away at the moment gets a priority point. So they would, at the end of the season, if they've gone every game, they've got 28 priority points or whatever you would have. So then they would start the next season without a season ticket, but on highest priority points, so they'd get first dibs anyway. So quite what that would achieve, I'm not sure. It's nothing that I would support in any shape or form. I haven't got an away season ticket. I wouldn't apply for a away season ticket because I can't do every away game at all. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that are new with away season tickets, and they live, breathe and die West Ham. So quite why you would want to penalise them, or people thought we would want to penalise them, I don't get. In my opinion, they put two and two together, got suspicious because it was the OSB, and they, for whatever reason, thought that we were going to take these comments, walk into a meeting and go, oh, the West Ham fans think you've got to scrap away season tickets. That was never, ever going to happen, was never on the cards or whatsoever. But then it spiralled from there, and of course, Wissa jumped on the bandwagon. Amers United, questions were asked on there. And no matter how many times I told them, look, this is wrong, it's not true, whatever. You're just a club stooge, you're part of it now. I had all that labelled at me, And I had someone said, well, you want to scrap away season tickets. So I just pointed him in my article and say, show me where it says it. Because nowhere have I said that. But Chinese whispers, it all starts. It was the topic of conversation at Bournemouth. And hence we got a load of stick on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
And just to be clear, and I put this on social media, I also respect the away fans. The away season ticket holders do the hard miles. For my sins, won a ballot to go to Aston Villa, which I got a lot of grief at. right? On a Monday night, I left work at 4 o'clock. I didn't get there. It took me 3.5 hours to get there. This is just Villa in the Midlands, right? When I left there, it took me 30 minutes to walk back to my car. I was stuck in the car park for another 30 minutes and 3 hours to get home, which meant I didn't get home to 1:30 in the morning. Now, that was just one time I've done a midweek or beginning of the week to the Midlands. You know, fair play to the people who are doing Newcastle or Manchester midweek. You know, the commitment they put in is to be respecting. And everyone admires our away army. Why would the club or anyone else want to deny the away season ticket holders? All the other clubs, all the other supporters admire our away support. You know, we don't, well, I certainly don't, and I'm sure most of the club would turn it into a sterile atmosphere where it's just corporate or newbies that you know, go to one game. I think it is fair that there is some chance to get a ticket via a ballot, and not everybody agrees with that, and we're going to talk about some of the discussions we had at the meeting a little bit later to make it a little bit fairer. But the problem is, this is not just about the ballot, and we'll break down in a minute how a away season allocation goes, but there's lots of people. There's bondholders, there is corporate, there is players, there is staff, there is disabled people, there is the ballot, there's priority point holders. They're all one. And the problem is, demand is outstripping supply. And when demand outstrips supply, it becomes a very emotive subject and people get very upset when they miss out. And the problem is, there's just not enough tickets to go round. So you've got to upset somebody. But I don't think there is any plan to upset away season ticket holders or people who have earned the points. I've only got 7 points and I've been on record on this. I'm quite protective of those 7 points as well, you know? I've not got freebies from the clubs that some people have suggested that they hand them out on the OSB. I've earned them by going to cup games and more recently one on two ballots. I don't get handouts. I go the legal way. I don't buy them, you know, on the black market or second user market. I do it the correct way and I don't get free tickets. And it's taken me a while just to build up 7 points. You know, I built some up the year before and lost them again. You know, you always got to keep it up. I would like to go to more away games. I used to, before the £30 cap came in, with John and George, used to go to nearly every London. We'd go to Palace and we'd go to Chelsea and we'd go to Arsenal. We'd go to Spurs away. We'd go to when Watford were in Watford, and you know, South Coast, Brighton, etc. When we could get the tickets, we'd go anywhere in the South. And then once or twice a year, we'd go up north. We'd either go to Liverpool or Everton or Manchester United. And we took it in terms of having a one or two northern away things. But, you know, you get family. It's more difficult to go every week. You know, it's very costly. And you get frozen out the system really quickly. And you know, I'd like to go to Palace and Chelsea and everything every year, and I can't. I just don't have the points anymore. And like we said on the last podcast, even Everton, right? Everton is not a very desirable game usually to go to away. It sold out to 11 priority points, which meant that I would, again, if I wanted to, because I've only got 7 points, I would have to go in the ballot if I wanted a ticket for Everton. So you're never going to keep everybody happy. I know I spoke to one away season ticket holder. It's unfair to name him. But we spoke for quite a long time, in fact, over 45 minutes. And we didn't see eye to eye. And, you know, he wanted me to meet him at Everton and other people. And he asked me to postpone the meeting and said, you need to do a paper questionnaire. For all away season ticket holders. And I said, look, we don't have a problem engaging with any group of people, including away season ticket holders. But one of our problems on the OSB is actually engaging in the first place. The questionnaire was designed by myself. It was run by myself, no one else. The club didn't give me the questions or anything else. I used it a way to try and engage for the subgroup to get some feedback for the club. It was answered by 450 people. I've published the results. There was 129 or 128 extra comments, which was shared with the club in full, no editing. And in addition to that, there were around about 4,500 words on about 15 emails that was also shared. And that includes an email from Hammers United and from the individual away season ticket holder. Anything anyone sent to the OSB or myself was shared with the OSB group the day before. You can testify to this, yeah, Nigel?
Yeah.
No editing. If people were using adjectives and swear words or calling us this and that and making accusations, the club got it all, didn't they? And all the members.
And read it all, apparently.
And read it all, yeah. The head of ticketing, by the way, Nicola Kay, came in and she'd done analysis on all the comments. So she'd spent the whole day reading all the comments. But anyway, let's talk about the meeting, Nigel, and I'm keen to hear yours. We had the meeting in the captain's lounge. I didn't even know Mark Noble had a lounge. Very nice it is too, as well. It's a bit of it's proper lounge, isn't it, with sofas and TVs and a nice little
beer
cold
fridge
for beers. Yeah. And I said 10 members, head of ticketing, Nicola, who came from Aston Villa, Brummy, who used to run, actually a season ticket holder for Aston Villa, big Aston Villa fan, but also ran Aston Villa's ticketing. And then you had the head of communications, Simon. You had people from the supporters services who run things, and someone from marketing there. It was quite informal. We had an hour and a half. So if you think that we spent ages, we had 90 minutes to get through an agenda.
Nine items on that agenda.
Nine items, yeah. So we only had 5 minutes to discuss things. And if people don't understand how the OSB works, you know, it's not like we all sit there and put a vote up and go, I vote to change the priority vote system. I change to vote this. You know, it doesn't do that. We give the club feedback and they go back and they come back to us with what can be done and what can't be done. It's a feedback session. So, you know, as part of that feedback session, you know, you don't go away with the club committing to do anything at the end of the day. But because I knew there was so much interest in this meeting, usually they're not minuted because they're sub meetings. Usually no reports are coming out. But because there was so much interest on that, I did ask for it to be, for a report to come out. And within 24 hours, it came out. Now, the first thing I'm going to ask you, Nigel, is was the report a fair reflection of the meeting?
I mean, it was a brief reflection of the meeting. And
it was over 1,000 words.
Yeah, but the problem is, people read that, and what they do is instead of looking at what it says, they look for what it don't says. And then they assume, because it's not written down, that it wasn't discussed.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that I took out of it. You know, I took a lot of stick, which surprised me, to be fair, which it shouldn't have surprised me, though. But then again, you know, I took a lot of stick from people that knew me as well. I took stick from people that knew me. And I couldn't figure out why they were coming up with what they were coming up with, to be honest. I'd made a lot of notes, which I've got with me. So the first topic was, funny enough, away tickets.
Well, we first did the performance of the ticket office from the survey, which... Yeah. 61% said excellent or good. And I think the ticket office try and do as best job they can. Ticketmaster, less good. They did mention, just before we do away tickets, Ticketmaster had a problem when they upgraded their software and they cocked up the ballot for both Watford and Brighton. They had to redo them. Apparently they've learned something from that. There's a new software release coming soon. And they said this in the update. they plan, and I've wanted this for a long time, having two kids season tickets. They're going to introduce a feature to allow you to upgrade concessions. So if you have a junior ticket or you have an over 65 ticket, you're able to move that to an adult ticket by Christmas. So I don't know which game it will be. It might even be for Sheffield United. But when you want to upgrade tickets, instead of ringing the ticket office, you'll be able to do it online. And what she did share with us is 80% of all transactions are now done online and only 20% is now done on the phone. And I think they want to increase that. So I welcome that, because for someone who does upgrade a few times their children's tickets when I haven't got the children that weekend, I update them for adults, it'll be far easier to do it online. But you're right, that we didn't talk a lot on that, because we did move on as our second agenda item to away ticketing. Take it away, Nigel.
All right, my first note, transparency. Now, this was brought up with the club, and it was said to them that they need to be more transparent with the way the tickets are distributed. It's all right us telling the listeners here, but the club should do it. And I feel that actually they missed something there. In their brief, that they could have been transparent. They could have released exactly how the tickets are allocated into what group gets what. Now, the problem in not doing that is that they leave themselves open to the whispers in that, oh, this group's getting it, they don't deserve it. This group's getting more than the club are saying. So the club should actually, in my opinion, which, you know, I did say, transparency. Now, amount of tickets, you'll back me up, I'll read through. So the amount of tickets to the corporate and sponsors was kept level. It hasn't been increased.
Well, she said it was slightly reduced because I know, and this has been reported in the past, Bassett and Gold, as part of their sponsorship deal, were getting some away tickets and that had expired. So if anything, it's slightly reduced.
Yeah. So she then said that they believe that the club believe that away ticketing is balanced, but they do acknowledge they can't make anyone they can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
They now take, and they admitted in the past it did go on, that they never took full allocation, but now they take the full allocation given to them by the club that they are visiting. So,
even though they get no money from that, by the way, the money just goes. You have to buy them in tranches and the money goes to the other club. West Ham take no profit from selling away tickets, but if they remain unsold, they take a loss. I don't know if you know that, how it works.
Yes, I do know. But so they have to pay for what they're taking. And that was one of the reasons why in the past, West Ham never took the full allocation.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You could take a lower allocation and go back for more if deemed possible.
Correct.
But now, West Ham are taking 100% of the tickets available. Now, one that caused a bit of concern, or not in the meeting, but in social media bubble, was the 700... At the start of the season, 700 away season ticket fans. So 700 people have signed up for the away season ticket scheme. And how that works is you don't pay all your money up front. You hand over your debit card, and then every away game, they send you the ticket and take the money off your debit card. But every away game, cup games, the lot. So...
And if your credit card, you miss it, the terms and conditions say, you can lose the scheme.
Yeah.
And in fact, she did suggest that the amount of away season ticket reduces over the year. Some people die, but some people probably lose it.
Yeah, it seemed a bit strange saying that. But.
Yeah, but it also is, I know this for a fact, that people who can't pay obviously can also come out the scheme. If their card is rejected a number of times, you lose your ability to carry on.
And they're not replaced until the start of next season. So at the start of every season, the max is 700.
Correct. All right. Not including corporate, as some people have suggested. Yep. We asked this and we asked to confirm it. And it's in writing in the report. It's 700 away season ticket holders.
All right. Now, the club are monitoring who attend or don't. And what they say there is, and this is not just away season ticket holders, the club monitor every fan that buys an away ticket and whether that ticket's get used. Now, that's the difference. They're not monitoring whether the person is actually attending, which is what we'll go on to. Some people, I think, are looking to do. But they do know if the ticket is used or not.
Yeah, they've got the data. They said they've got the data, but they don't do anything with it.
Yeah. And they think they have the fairest system. And the away season ticket is renewed, though, on a first-come, first-serve for renewal.
Which we did question on whether there should be a priority system based on loyalty of how long you've got a season ticket, really. Because I know that's some things that some people have raised to us.
Yeah, it did seem strange that there's just like a blanket away renewal where they get a window to renew and that's it. Where the people, because there's going to be people that year on year have just bought away season tickets. Year on year, there's probably like a good hardcore of fans. I do find it strange. There is a lot of, everybody can see on social media tickets being offered for sale. The thing that always makes me a bit weird or find strange is one group of people will blame the away season ticket holders. Another group of people blame the bond holders. Another group of people blame the priority point holders who are trying to increase their priority points. And the fact is, unless you know the individual selling, you don't know what their circumstance is.
And some of them, by the way, are scams. And funny enough, we just had something on social media brought to our attention. And someone said on Twitter, look, OSB, if you're going to tackle it, tackle this. And it was Chelsea away, right? West Ham, Chelsea away. Mm. Well, number one, those tickets aren't even available yet, right? So no, there's no tickets to buy. No one's got them. So whoever's selling them, it's speculative. Either it's a complete fraud and they don't have the tickets. They could be an away season ticket holder who knows they're going to get one. It could be a tout betting on that he can pick one up. Or it could be a bondholder, but no one knows. It is a fraud because those tickets aren't available. So it's impossible to crack down on something where a ticket hasn't been issued. And even if it is, it's actually a matter for Chelsea because it's Chelsea who issued the ticket. And it's a matter either for the police, etc. So while certain things can be policed, you can't police fraud if someone, and I've heard this quite a few times lately, people on social media selling away tickets that don't even exist on people have just been ripped off their fantasy tickets. They don't even exist.
I think there was a group from America who came over for the Bournemouth game and they got caught outside the ground. And I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that one West Ham fan kindly gave one of them the ticket, his own ticket. So because the bloke was standing there, he'd come all the way from America and he'd been scammed.
Yeah, it goes on. Anyway, let me just, while you're just there, let me just tell you about the allocation as I know. Because we did ask for the allocation and they said, well, it's already been said. Now, it had been said at the last meeting and they confirmed those figures were correct. So on an average 3,000 allocation, this is what they previously said. There are 808 bondholders, right? Not all of them. There's not 880 bonds. Sorry, there are 808 bonds, not bondholders. There are slightly less because some people have bought multiple bonds. So that's, I don't know, let's call it 780, whatever it is. Those 780 people have an agreement with the club, which allows them priority. Apparently, it's a legal agreement told to us by the club. They can buy around about 780 tickets, that means. They don't on a big game. They buy up to 300. On a lesser game, we were told they buy at least as an unpopular game, as few as 30. And it changes one by one. There has been, they admitted, the bondholder, Stephen, who was there, admitted that he said, look, there's no, anyone caught selling a ticket who's a bondholder deserves the whole weight of the law thrown at them. And the club admitted that one bondholder had been caught openly selling a ticket on social media, been caught and stopped from buying away tickets. But the bondholder present there that night said he didn't believe there was any widespread abuse. I know you've got a view on bondholders, which will come into a minute. After bondholders are the away season ticket holders. So 300 go on the bondholders up to for 3,000. Then another 700 go on the away season tickets. Well, that's your first third gone. That's 1,000 gone. The Premier League rules say that you've got to give a number of tickets to players, families, players, and certain staff. It's in the Premier League handbook. I'm told that number, if you combine the two together, is 90. 60 for the players and families, 30 for the staff. So 90 then go to club and, you know, employees, including players and players' families. After that, you've got Club London. Now, this is probably the most contentious one. It ranges, I'm told, for some of the games, it's as few as 125. But for the bigger games, the 3,000, it's around 200, maybe even 225 is what I've been told. So it's a maximum of 225 for Club London. That's the corporate hospitality. Again, it is a ballot of all corporate hospitality members that can enter. If you're in corporate hospitality, you can enter a ballot to get an away ticket. A lot of people disagree with that, but its benefits were offered to them when they were sold their packages for the London Stadium. After that, you've got disabled. Now, I was told in the past it's 10%. I'm told by the disabled rep it's not 10%. It's more like 50. But pretty much any... It works that there's a number of disabled spaces at the away ground. Pretty much anyone who applies for it does get it, is what my understanding. You know, but it's a small number of disabled fans that actually go to away games. 10%, as we know, are reserved for the away ballot. And that is for a 3,000 game, that's 300. And I know that's, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And then that leaves the remainder for season ticket holders with priority points. Now, in a 3,000 ballot, if you tot up roughly, rounding up and down what I said, around about 1,600 tickets go to all the other groups, which leaves around 1,400 tickets left for season ticket holders with the highest priority points. And roughly, of course, it changes game by game by allocation. That's how the allocation works, as I'm told by the club.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The thing that I forgot to ask was, how many games do you get 3,000 for? Because I think it's approaching only 50% of games, or maybe less, that you actually get 3,000 tickets for, and that normally it's less than that. It may be like 275, 2,500, 2,800. But
so we did discuss on that because the ballot came into this, and that I know a lot of people disagree with the ballot, and the survey said that people disagree with the ballot. One of the suggestions that came out on the night was, instead of offering, at the moment, a 10% ballot is available for any allocations over 2,000. Maybe the ballot should, for 3,000 ballots, the maximum should stay at 10%. And one of the suggestions put forward is maybe it should reduce to 5% on anything between 2,000 and 3,000. Mm. Who came up with that one?
Yeah, I think that was me. So if it's popular, but I think it's
slightly fairer. Look, that a lot of people want tickets. You've got to upset somebody, but it might be a little change where what I hear is people with priority points that have worked hard, you know, they've worked hard to earn them, they just miss out by a point. Yeah. And that's going to be hard, isn't it, when you just...
Yeah, I mean, the reason we're saying that was because there are some games where you're only getting 2,000. You know, basically, they haven't done ballot for Bournemouth. So there was like, would they have 1,200 for Bournemouth?
Yeah, it was something
so
like
there's
that.
No 10% set aside. So that's purely priority points. So, yeah, so the notes I've got is that the club are looking... to do a ballot where there's only 2,000 or over allocation. So anything under 2,000, they're going to look at
anything under 2,000, they do not do a ballot. So for Oxford, for Bournemouth, anything under 2,000 already, there's no ballot.
So then anything over 2,000, you know, as I said, my idea was, well, if it's only 2,000, have 5% or 2.5%, 2,500 have 5%. Now, you know, obviously that then helps those on the lower points, because the lesser the allocation, then the higher the priority points you need to get there. And I think the problem is there's a lot of people, as you can see, Everton's gone to 11 points. So if you're sitting there with 9, 10 points, you think, well, I've got a few points here, but you're just missing out. And then as every game goes on, the points move up one, isn't it? Because obviously each game tracks a new point to be added. On my notes here, I've put here, is 2 points fair for a home game? So what that was alluding to there was, is it fair that the club give 2 points for a home game in the cup?
Yeah. And look, there's no hiding this. They came out with this new scheme to encourage people to go to the early rounds at home for cup games. Interestingly, since they brought in this scheme, no points have been awarded for 2 points, because we haven't either stayed in the cup and every game we've played had been away. So obviously, Oxford away, Wimbledon away. What was the other one we won?
Macclesfield. That was at home.
Away. Oh, well, that was before it was brought in. There was another one away. Well, who did we play before Oxford?
That was, of course, that was away. It was on telly as well, wasn't it? I'm going to have to edit this bit because this is embarrassing.
You can't remember.
We're watching it, oh.
Anyway, so at one point, the 2 points. So one of the things that suggested from the people, and based on feedback, is that more points should be given for the people who do the half miles. So maybe, and this was in the report, maybe if it's midweek, if it's over a certain miles, you know, Newcastle, etc., if it was moved at short notice for TV, then there shouldn't just be 1 point. There should be 2 points, maybe. For the more difficult games or the more undesirable games, away games that people travel to. There were other suggestions, and I don't know whether the club will take them. One suggestion was on away games, if you don't turn up at the games, the club have got this data. If you don't turn up on the game, maybe you should lose your priority point. So if you've bought a ticket and you don't use it, maybe you should lose your priority point. And that's really hard to argue against, because if you are just buying them to collect priority points, it sort of defeats the object. Non-attendance, Man City game, 700 missed that game. at the recent Bournemouth one, 70. Now, there will be valid reasons why you can't go. You know, your car breaks down or something comes up. But equally, some people just do it for the points. And I don't think you can argue. If you paid your 30 quid, fair enough. But why should you have a priority point as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one.
That might,
I mean,
last season, might not be.
I mean, yeah, I suppose you could point. I mean, personally, last season I had a ticket for Southampton and I was ill. It was not Boxing Day, it was the day after Boxing Day because it was live on TV. So it was the Boxing Day game, bought the ticket. But I was ill over Christmas and I just couldn't go. And
well, you lose your point. That's
well,
fair
yeah,
enough.
I mean, if that was the case, I mean, generally what would happen is if I got an away ticket that I'm not going to, I'll give it to my nephew to go to. You know, that, and that's the only person I ever do that to.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have,
and funny enough, we did ask the question, why can't there be a ticket forwarding system where people can sell back tickets to away tickets to West Ham, and the answer came back is we're not allowed to. The ticket issuing authority is the away club. We're an agent. We've got no rights to resell.
Yeah, that's the notes I've got that the club said they are the agent for away tickets, and they are for personal use only.
And so they can't. It's under the whatever the Football Act or whatever it is. It's considered touting even by the club if they resell a ticket. The police want to know who was allocated that ticket, and therefore the only if a club officially sells it, it's got to transfer that name against the ticket that it will then give to the away club. And it says we've got no way to do that. And some people did talk about, in fact, the way season ticket holder talked about who goes to England, talk about whether, you know, some clubs have it where you have to collect the away tickets. Or you have to show ID. And I think the club sort of said to them, like, not all clubs do that, and we don't know how practical it is. We'd rather a common sense to
what
this.
What they said was, because I've got it here, is that what they have done is delayed sending the away tickets out. So...
Oh, yes, they did, yeah.
So they don't rush the tickets out now, so they wait back, because if you're going to the game... You don't need to have the ticket technically until, you know, the day before the game, realistically. And obviously, they do get phone calls from people saying, where's the away tickets? And the club do monitor those phone calls to see if there is a pattern of the same people ringing up asking why the paper tickets ain't been sent out. So... You know, the club can see there's a problem, whether they're doing enough, you know, but then again, anybody, you know, we can all come up with ways that it'll work, and then someone else will come up with a way that it won't work.
What? Yeah, true. And you know, they also said, look, a companion steward goes to each away game to help supporters. And when we asked, because of terms and conditions, you know, are they checking ID? They said no at the moment. So they're not doing ID checks as threatened. But they do have a steward travelling with the away fans, or someone from support services or the ticket office travelling with away fans to offer assistance. What that actually means, I don't know. So what else was on priority points? I mean, there wasn't really beyond... you know, the club valued away season ticket holders and people who bought up their priority points had no intention of changing anything. And the ballot could be slightly diluted for allocations between 2,000 and 3,000. That's really what came out at that point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, as I said at the beginning, the club seem to think the way they distribute away tickets is fair. You know, personally, you know, I spoke out. I don't think the corporates, in a way, should get their allocation. I'm not a lover of the bondholders. I think I said, I'm pretty sure I did say this, that couldn't the bondholders just be allocated? Because in theory, every bondholder. So could buy an away ticket. And then that would really screw the system if that ever happened. So for me, why not allocate 100 tickets for the bondholders and make them apply in a ballot?
Yeah. Well, I think what the club said is it's a legal requirement. Yeah. I haven't seen that agreement, but that's what they said.
Well, you know, I'm not here to spout out what I think of the bonds scheme. You know, there were a lot of people against it, and some people and those that bought it have done very well out of it. And for me,
look, don't get me wrong. If I could buy a bond, I probably
well,
could.
Well, let's get this right. What do we need?
Three grand will buy you
a £500 bond that was bought for £500, and value of it to the club is £500. Sell for £3,000 now.
And there's a massive waiting list.
And there is a massive waiting list, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, can we move on from away ticketing beyond it's a very emotive issue and, you know, it's about moving disappointment around?
Right. So we go to ticket exchange and forwarding, and we've got a question here from Colin Wilkins on the Facebook group. He'd be interested to know if they could implement a system for Ticket Trader whereby a season ticket holder and there's an adult and a child ticket to sell, the adult ticket will always be sold first. So Colin points out he's got an adult and two children, and when he sold all three together, strangely, the two kids sell, but the adult doesn't. And so that gives him £2.50 and the club make a fortune. So he now very rarely use Ticket Trader. So
I've not found that. As you know, I've got two kids and one adult. And they all, maybe it's their position, but all three sell out. And my adult is in, my two kids are together. So that's more desirable. And there's a gap, and then my adult ticket, because someone else sits next to me. I find they sell out pretty much at the same time, and I've never had a problem selling on Ticket Trader.
For me, the club said a funny thing about Ticket Trader. When I say the club, they're the ticketing. So she said the club don't want fans to use it because they want fans to attend the game.
Yeah, so that's true.
In a way, then that makes you think, well, are they just putting Ticket Trader there? It is what it is. We don't care if there's problems with it, because actually,
we don't want you to use it.
If it was too easy, too many people would do it, and they don't want that.
So I use Ticket Exchange and Ticket Forwarding. So Ticket Exchange gives you 90% of the fee back allocated for your category of game. So it takes your season ticket fee, not the general fee, splits it out into categories A, B, and C, gives you a value, and if you add it all up, it comes to 90% of what you paid for your ticket. They say the other 10% goes to Ticketmaster as their admin fee, right? So let's park that for the moment. I've used it, and I usually have on my children's tickets. I always want my tickets to be used, and they always are. So if I know someone who wants it, I use Ticket Forwarding. I upgrade them and use Ticket Forwarding. By the way, the fee for ticket forwarding is zero for me as a season ticket holder. The person buying it, it's either £1.50 or £2 a ticket fee that goes to Ticketmaster, or the person receives it. Now, ticket forwarding, supposed to be friends and family, could go to anyone, right? You could set your own price if you wanted to, right? Whether that's legal or not is up to you. And the other person pays one, and they get a ticket that they can download. Rather than giving you a season ticket out, a ticket that can download via email and print out. Ticket Exchange, obviously, the club sell it at full retail price. So they give you 90% back. Ticketmaster takes the 10%. Then they get to sell it. Now, I could put that allegation to the club that they always sell the children's ones first. But you remember, it could go the opposite way. You could sell the adult one as a child. So it could go the opposite way. You know, you give money back and then sell it as a child ticket. But here's the thing, I think this is not true, because I've used Ticket Trader the other way, i.e. I've bought tickets for other people. When you go into Ticket Trader, and you'll probably know this if you've used it, Nigel.
No.
You can pick any seat you want. So if free tickets are available, you get to choose. The club doesn't choose for you. You see every seat that's listed on Ticket Exchange in the whole stadium, and you can choose which seat you want. So for that to be true of whoever, I can't remember the name of the person you said,
Colin Wilkins,
that wouldn't be allowed. You can choose. So it's just dealer's choice. In other words, they they get to choose where they want to sit, and maybe their kids' seats are more desirable than his seat. I don't know, but that's the way it works. Right.
David Jones got a question in this regard.
Cool.
He was curious as to why ticket forwarding for home tickets has been replaced by the email download. He says, surely this enables tickets to be given or sold to anyone. So I guess what he's saying, ticket forwarding, our fault, you sent it to a friend and they had to be a member. And so it goes on their membership card and then they could come to the game.
No, it's not. It's never been like that. Right. So if you need to be registered as a member, but it takes you 5 seconds. Look, I had John's nephew came to a game and one of my kids couldn't make it and he's a youngster. So literally all I did was forward it on to him, but he didn't, he's a West Ham fan, but he didn't have a reference number. So literally I told him to go on. It took him 5 minutes to create a reference number. He gave me the reference number and I forwarded it on to him. He emailed the ticket and then jumped on a train and came to the game. This was all 2 hours before the game. So I'm not sure it was ever, I think, you've always had the ability to download email tickets. And to be fair, I think it's very flexible what you can do with ticket forwarding. It's the thing least people know about, but it's probably the most flexible. If you wanted to sell ticket for whatever you wanted, you can do it with the blessing of the club. Unlike Twickets, which is illegal. Someone was talking about Twickets. Twickets is illegal because it's not endorsed by the club. Yes, Crystal Palace use it. Yes, QPR use it, but it's authorised by the club. Twickets is not authorised by West Ham or any other Premier League apart from Crystal Palace. And therefore, if you buy a ticket of Twickets, it's illegal. Doesn't matter if it's at base value or given away free. It's illegal under the town rules. Right.
Last one on ticket forwarding and exchanging. This is Alan Knight, and it's a different thing, but it is part of that. It said, currently, if you buy extra home tickets, but then you cannot go to the game, the club won't take them back.
Correct.
Since it's not permitted to sell them on, what are you supposed to do with them? He bought 2 Man United tickets for a friend, but the friend then couldn't go to the game and the club would not take them back. Surely for a game that is supposedly set out, they could take it back and resell. Or is it because Ticketmaster has no mechanism for refunds?
Yeah, well, part of this is Ticketmaster. In the same way, you know, you talked about Ticketmaster, the whole ticket exchange is sold by a number of people and it's what the website will do. You can't customize it. I know as general, Ticketmaster do not do refunds. Sorry, the ticket office do not refunds.
The funny thing about that is, people, they never have.
No, I know that. No. It's more of a principle.
Yeah, they never have, not from day one. If you bought a ticket one day and the game weren't for a month later and you couldn't go.
In general, and I think this is all ticket offices, tickets are non-refundable. Yeah. Simple as that. Okay. Anything else on ticket forwarding or ticket exchange?
No, that is it. So next.
Ticket.
Go on.
Ticket touting. So what the club said, and particularly we were talking about away tickets and tour companies. So they said, look, if people are touting on the internet or in public, we as a club have a responsibility to come down on anything that is done publicly, fan to fan, over social media, etc. They say they do not sell any away tickets to any other companies or tour companies, etc. They did say they do sell tickets to tour companies for home games, which is the first admission for them to say that. Look, ticket touting has been going on as long as, I don't know, crucifixion. It's there. It goes on. It's a police matter and not a club matter, certainly outside the stadium. Now, technically, fans break the law when they sell ticket from one another. But look, the club or the police are not going to go after people moving tickets away or home between friends. And I've just said, actually, ticket forwarding actually makes it legal.
Yeah. In regards to touting, there's a few different ways to beat touts. One, if you're a person walking along, you don't agree with them, don't buy from them. Nobody puts a gun to your head and makes you stop and talk to them. Two, at Chelsea, the fines now handed out, I've been approaching to ticket touts, so people caught touting, I think I've been approaching £7,000 to £10,000. Now, apparently, this has seen a massive decrease in street ticket touting. Now, there is a difference now, because obviously that's Chelsea sector. Arsenal sector has roughly started to do the same. A lot of ticket touts now will get a 3-year banning order as well. So if they're caught, prosecuted, found guilty, they will get a 3-year banning order, the same as a football hooligan will get. Yeah. London's different because of it's not a public highway. It's private land.
Mm. So, I mean, you do see the ticket touts everywhere, yeah, every game, and you see them at the London Stadium. But to be honest, tourists can buy them online from Ticket Exchange just before kickoff. If you look before kickoff, right?
Yeah, that's
don't buy them a ticket tout.
You should try and beat is advertise
buy,
that.
Buy them off Ticket Exchange, because funny enough, if you try and buy it 3 weeks before, you often won't get it. But I tell you what, here's my challenge. Look, as long as you don't mind singles and doubles, and then find somewhere to sit together, you can always buy singles on the day just before kickoff on Ticket Exchange. You can actually be outside the club, buy it on Ticket Exchange, download the email to your phone, and you can actually use your phone barcode to then get through the turnstile without actually printing it off. There you go. It's as easy as that. Hmm. Anyway, moving on from ticket touting, ticket pricing. We did ask what the strategy would be on ticket pricing after the fiasco last time when season tickets were put up. The OSB weren't informed at all, and we felt we were thrown under the bus. And the suggestions made at the meeting were a number. It's consult with the OSB beforehand. If you're going to do a season ticket rise, tell people as much, as far in advance as possible. You know, tell them, I know, halfway through the season. Tell them at December, you know. Tell them in January. Don't tell them when the season ends. And the other thing that was suggested that other clubs do is offer discount. So I know some Premier League clubs and Championship clubs offer discount if you sign up 6 months early to give extra cash flow to the club, or multi-year. I mean, I know you do a 2-year for your one, but what happens if someone in band one or band two or band three wanted to pay 2, 3, 4 years in advance?
Yeah, I
if
mean,
they got a discount, I'd make it worth their while.
You know, I did say it in there, I thought it was strange that only band five had the 2-year. You know, I jumped in, you know, and it meant I didn't pay the price rise. You know, So the first year of the season ticket was 285. So I paid 285 2 years running. This season, if you renewed, I think you paid 300, and a brand new Walker up was 320, I think, for a band five. You know, I'm hoping there'll be a 2-year season ticket again. Yeah.
Yeah, but ticket prices have got to go up. You can't just keep them straight. If you want, you've said this yourself. If you want to go places on the pitch, the money has to come from somewhere. Yeah. You know, the reason the move to the London Stadium has not been successful is the tickets actually went down and haven't increased very fast.
Well, I disagree with that. I think, and it's almost there, careful. You make me sound like I'm advocating ticket prices going up, but what I alluded to.
No, I'm not saying, but it's a fact of life that ticket prices have to go up at some point.
Yeah, but it has to be managed in a way. And the club, to be fair, before this lot turned up, I've never done it right. I remember back in the 90s, 1 year, the season ticket used to go up 10, 15 quid a year. And then you'd have 3 cup games as well. For a cup season, there was 3 cup games thrown in the mid-90s. Then one season, after we'd had 2 cup games, they actually wrote us a letter, said, look, we made a mistake. It should have said 2 cup games. So we swallowed that. The year after, they removed all cup games, but then put the price up £120 as well. Now, as an idiot that went to the two Mickey Mouse Cup games that the club was getting free, the price rise for that year for me was £150. The club need to be careful when they do price rises to manage.
Look, no one likes price rises. You're right.
And it's got to be justified.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've got to know where the money goes.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, the jury's out. We'll see what consultation and what they do next year. We talked about family area. And I know you were saying, previously when asked, Karen Brady said the whole of the upstairs is a family area. And she did say that. Now, they have now announced that the new family area has been designated 221, which is right next to the away fans on the upper, which raised some eyebrows in the room. But they said, and I think they're arguing with you, Nigel, well, obviously it was Trevor Brooking upper at the bowling ground above the away fans, and a lot of other clubs do it as well. And they also said that actually on the seg line, those people closest to the family would be actually guests of the away fan and VIPs usually, rather than any old Herberts.
Yeah.
Did you buy it?
You know I didn't buy it. You know, because, you know, I actually did say, you know, sort of three times, what you put in kids on the seg line. You know, I watched them over at the Palace. You know, Palace are not a firm or anything that would either imagine to be trouble or whatever. And there was a dog's abuse going both ways across that seg line, as it does generally at every away game, at every ground on the seg line. That's where people like to throw abuse at each other, try and G them up, take the mickey out of them, do whatever. I pointed out to them, because Nicola Key is new to West Ham, she knew jack shit about what went on at the bowling ground, in my opinion, that actually it was upstairs above the away fans, which is different to being level with them. So there was no general direct abuse thrown up and down, or not before games or during games. So, yeah, we could hear them.
I'm not sure. Look, you know, I'm going to be a bit more. I think that. No, the seg line is quite big. I'm not sure you can hear swearing across the seg line.
Come on.
Well, only when they're chanting, no. And you can hear that in the rest
of the
sorry,
ground. You can. It's not that big.
And you know, I would hope they're going to police and steward a family area.
Do you know, if they were going to put families on the seg line, I would suggest they put them behind the goal downstairs, because that mob, West Ham men behind the goal next to the seg line, they all sit down there anyway. I don't know what it is about that Trevor Brooking lower there, but that being
all right. Well, they've obviously made their decision and told
possibly in November is what. Yeah. So family seating area, you know, and I think the club rightly should be called out on this, because you know there was a big hoo-ha made when we were moving there about no family seating area, and the club were adamant that the whole stadium was family friendly. So
what happens with people? Hang on, what they didn't explain is what happens with people in that area that don't have children.
She said they're right into season ticket holders in that area.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I know a lot of people, or I know some people that are members, and when they buy tickets, they seem to end up over there. So whether the club are currently using that for the members' tickets, so it's easy to move them out and put season ticket holders in there, I don't know. But so quite how they can just come up with it in November makes me laugh, when season ticket holders are already in their seats.
Yeah. So anyway, our half an hour podcast is already
of course it was.
The other thing we talked along this, and it's one a little bit close to my heart, but I know other people have raised it, is age for concessionary rates. So the price, whether the junior should increase from 16 to 18. As talking as, you know, a father of a 16-year-old daughter who's got a season ticket, you know, she's still at school. Most people now stay at school or go to college, etc. They don't go out to work at 16. And therefore, feedback people have received is you know, the age should be increased. And the survey supported this, but saying that maybe a junior ticket should go up to 18 while people are in full-time education. It extends it for another 2 years. It helps families. It helps people. Otherwise, you might find that people disappear and say, well, I can't afford to pay that. You know, my season tickets for my two kids, my daughter is 16 and my son is 12. You know, my season tickets went up by 50% for them. Now, you've got to say they was cheap as chips to begin with, 99 quid each in band three, but I paid 150 quid each. So I paid 50% more. Now, that's going to increase even more next year as my daughter approaches a 17th birthday. And I know other people in that same position. If we compare it with other Premier League clubs, a number of clubs, and I think it's Spurs as well, junior tickets go up to 18 now and not 16. I just think maybe we should do the same where other clubs do it for 18. Why not? And we shouldn't stop there. We should help young adults that are still in university as well. You know, there should be a student rate before you're working.
Under, I think it's right, young adult finishes at 21. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, we've all got life choices to make. And at 21, you do have a life choice to make. If you're going to university, blah, 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 blah. But I do believe that the under 16 should be raised to under 18, in line with the way the government treat children. One thing I want to pick up on what I've put here is the club claim 40% of the stadium is concession.
Yeah. I know there's supposed to be 10,000 under six, or there was 10,000 junior tickets alone. 10,000. And obviously you've got disabled and you've got over 65.
The reason
I
say that is if 40% of the stadium is concession, that does put extreme pressure on the price rises. I think because that is what the club are going to be looking at. And that is, you know, sure that. And I can see the way they're thinking. I must admit, I didn't pick up on it when they said it, but I wrote it down. And a bit of me, that's what alarms me. 40% of the stadium's concessions, so therefore there's price-wise is to go on there. Moving on, club cash. Do you want to hear my notes for that? Yeah, go on, boring. Then. And that's all I wrote.
So club cash. If you don't use ticket exchange like I do. Now, when I renew my season ticket, I always try and use club cash. Well, I always do. So for my kids, I use my club cash. You can use it online. But some people forget to do this, or they renew before they've sold more on. Now, club cash is supposed to be used to renew your season ticket, buy merchandise from the shop, and or buy other tickets online. Apart from renewing your season ticket, it's bloody hard to spend it any other way. It's almost impossible to spend it online on merchandise. And I know this from a very good fellow season ticket holder that ended up losing about 60 quid at the end of last season because they'd already renewed early because they wanted to move their seat. And they just couldn't find a way to spend the club cash online, and they couldn't, and they just didn't want to ring the club, and they ran out of time, and they lost the money. Now, I wonder how many times number of people contacted me to say, club cash, it's awful that it just runs out at the end of the season, end of May, you lose it. And the feedback we gave the club was, it should roll over for another season. You know, in a previous meeting, they said to us, we don't earn any money. The amount of money that gets lost by supports is so small, it's not worth us grabbing it. So my challenge to them on the night was, if it's so small and it doesn't make any difference from a commercial point of view, then why not roll it over for another season and let people have the time to use it? They've earned it. They can use it. You might find it boring, but it's hard to disagree with that, isn't it? If it costs them nothing to do.
I don't use club cash because I don't think that the club behave quite right in the way you can use.
You'd rather leave your season ticket empty.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, getting on to the final item.
Yes.
And there was only eight because item number nine was meeting closed. And you know what? This podcast is going along on as long as the meeting. The season ticket waiting list, and we saved 20 minutes at the end of this, and it was presented by the head of marketing.
Yeah. Head of marketing.
Well, you've got
to what have I got to say on this? Well, I think what we wanted to say was, what has marketing got to do with the season ticket waiting list? And why isn't the ticket office running the season ticket waiting list? And why did the head of marketing have all the answers with the questions in regard to the waiting list?
But to be fair to Dan, who presented to us, he did accept that the list was 4 years old. And he did accept, although he can give us a number of how many people were left on it, they did accept that they'd done a lot to remove people. They'd contacted people over the last 6 months, removing people who no longer wanted a season ticket list. And that they presented to us a number of proposals. And the biggest proposal was to switch by a season-to-season product. In other words, the season ticket waiting list starts each year from scratch. And people are allowed to opt in on it. So if you've paid your £10, this is the way I understood it. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you paid your £10, you can opt in to move over to next year's list. However, if you don't reply, you automatically opt out. And it's assumed you don't want a season ticket anymore. Was that the way you understood it?
Well, that is sort of the way that he put it about, that they were going to look at possibly doing it on a season-to-season and with the opt-in. You know, I don't think my, you know, idea of why don't you just bloody scrap it, give everyone their tenner back and have a general sale went down well with him, to be fair.
No, don't be, it did. But equally, you know, for what? Look, whether the 55,000, then 50,000, then 48,000, then we went down to 34,000 was a marketing number or not is relevant. At the end of the day, they've always sold every available season ticket, right? So there is enough demand. You never thought they would sell 60,000,
no,
right? Or 54,000.
No.
For every time they've sold the season tickets when asked, the number, what the real number is irrelevant. In fact, I argued the opposite way. I said making it too large actually puts people off because you can't manage their expectation of where they are on the list.
No, and that's why they should scrap it and go to general sale. But I think what comes out of that is the fact that the marketing people doing it, it is a marketing tool and a marketing gimmick. And it should be seen.
It's only a tenner.
And, yeah, but it should be seen as that. There is no need for it.
If it's a tenner, it's hardly. I mean, remember, at the end of the day, all the money goes to the club, plays for players, wages, etc., right? If it's a way to generate revenue of getting people excited by spaying a tenner.
You know what generates extra revenue, didn't you? Sacking the whole marketing department.
Oh, that's
because
a bit harsh.
As I've always said, the best way to market a football team is to buy decent players. The club admitted now, and did they not bring this up in the meeting? The club admitted that more people are now attending. Yeah, ignore the lies about the attendance. There are now more people attending home games than ever before. And we're not talking official figures, we're talking the real figures. More people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pointed out to him is that could be something to do with the fact that the club's playing better now than they ever have at the stadium. So therefore, if you've got better players and we're playing better, more people will come. You don't need a marketing department to market it. You just need decent players. And, you know, the old, if you build it, they will come adage. You build a team, they will come. Not the stadium. But if you build a team, they will come. And I think I'm bailed out with that.
Okay. So, any other questions we haven't covered? So we've done the agenda.
So, basically, Maid Marian, what was the club's rationale over giving priority points for away games to people who attend home games? I think we covered that, was it not?
Yeah. So, I mean, without a doubt, giving 2 points to home cup games is a way to sell more tickets, without a doubt. That's not dress it up any other way. They didn't say that, but of course it's
yeah, basically obvious. They want you. So, like, Dodsey comes with two things here. He said, could the away ticket be put on the season ticket, the home season ticket, which would make it harder to swap, and the season ticket then becomes a proof of identity?
No. And the reason quite simply is it has to be compatible with each away ground. So that's why when you get an away ticket, as you know, it comes from, you know, if it's a Chelsea one or a Brighton one or a Villa one, it comes from the club. It's a paper ticket produced by a club with a barcode, etc. Each people have different systems. So no, it couldn't be put on the season ticket because that would mean that all Premier clubs needed to have the same system. In the future, and I don't know if you remember this, she said, we do hope in the future for all Premier League clubs to put away tickets on smartphones. Do you remember her saying that? So I don't know how far in the future that is.
But when you do that, you can forward that bar, because that'll be done by a barcode on the phone, and that'll just be forwarded on.
So that's I'm sure. Done.
What you said was right there. You know, this is like systems that I install. What you got to remember as well is that the visiting club or the home team club would need your details to input that into their system, which would have to be done manually, because that's how you program these systems. So there is no way that anyone will ever come up with, you put your away game on your season ticket. He then asked me if I think anything will change.
That's a good question.
Now, do I think anything will change? No, I don't think anything will change. I think you have to engage with the club and you have to use these meetings and you have to walk into there and feel entitled to speak your mind freely, which I did. And the club, you do it in a respectful way, and the club do listen. I think if you look at...
You don't think there will be any concessions from some of the ideas?
There may be a couple of things. You know, she did seem quite enamoured when I turned around and said, why don't you scale the ballot?
She did like that idea. But do you know, why did she like that idea? Go on, spill the beans.
I don't know why she liked that idea.
She said, because when she first proposed, remember, this is although the ballot's been blamed on
the
old SAB, actually, Nicola bought this. She used it at Villa, and she came up with the idea at a SAB meeting rather than someone else coming up with it. And when she first proposed it, her proposal was that it should only be used for ticket allocations of 3,000.
Yes.
So actually, and it ended up being for ticket allocations of 2,000. So the idea to grade it, as you suggested, sort of falls back in her first thinking. And that's why she liked her idea.
The one thing that priority points holders that complain about the ballot need to remember is that if you miss out, you can apply for the ballot. Now, one thing I do remember, which I did think was wrong, and it came back to the transparency thing, was they said about a number of fans that applied for a ballot for a certain game. Oh, but we don't want that known. And, you know, I'm not going to reveal it. I'll stick to it. But I did point out that if you use, and Simon Kuttner used the word transparency, and I did say that, you've used the word transparency, why ain't you being transparent? If you've got nothing to hide, it's such a silly thing to hide how many people have applied for the ballot. But the club won't reveal it.
So what we can say is there's a lot of demand. Yes. Yeah. Well,
I mean, the ballot was over 10 times oversubscribed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you've sort of given
not
the game away.
Not for Aston Villa, though. It wasn't for the Aston Villa game, people.
Which I got lucky, it was not oversubscribed
because everybody that applied got one.
Lastly, not everybody, but mostly.
So that's not, I shouldn't say that actually. So, lastly, is Tim Sharman, who did ask a ticket. Let me ask it, because he has asked a question and said, I did ask it. Let me just find it. Bear with me, people. Super Tim Sharman. He's Luke's dad, by the way, people. If you don't know who Tim Sharman is, He's a very good friend of a friend. Tim Sharman, he says, ticket meeting, there was no mention of revoking tickets from Club London. Was this discussed?
Oh, it's a really good question.
Let's let him finish. Was this discussed or crushed by Brady?
Well, Brady wasn't there for begin with. It was discussed, and I think we discussed it earlier, and we said, is it fair that Club London, corporate people and sponsors, get any allocation, and whether that allocation has been increasing. So they denied it had been increasing, and we covered that earlier, saying, actually, in her view, it reduced, right? That the sponsor's contract with Bassett & Gold had reduced, and therefore it's slightly reduced. But the answer seemed to be, I mean, there wasn't a lot of, is it's difficult to keep everybody happy, and that, and maybe I'm putting words in their own mouth, that corporate people, someone said this in the room, corporate people bring in a lot of money for the club, right? So you might not like to hear this, but, you know, there's Nigel paying his £189, and then there's one of the corporate people bringing in 10 grand, let's say a season, because some of them do. They want to be treated a little bit special. And therefore, you know, there hasn't got massive priority, but around about, well, it's not even 10%, is it? It's like 7% of the tickets go to them. I'm not saying it's right, because I'm not in the corporate brigade. But I can sort of understand sometimes the customers who pay the most, there has to be inducements to encourage them to buy those expensive corporate packages. Not condoning, just saying that.
With that point of
view. Of course you did. And but that's why it's there. Are the club going to get rid of it? Absolutely not. You haven't got any chance. You know, you could campaign all you want. What you can campaign is that it doesn't get any bigger than it currently does, and say there should not be a growth.
And should
in that
area, be scalable as regards allocation? And this is.
Well, it is scalable. It is scalable. So just to say, that part is scalable, because the numbers I was given before is it scales from 125 to 225, depending on allocation. And in some games, like AFC Wimbledon, there was no corporate, I was told. Things like Oxford, there was no corporate. So when there's a very, very small allocation,
sure that's true, you know.
Well, I'm just saying what I'm told. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just telling you that even staff were denied for AFC Wimbledon. Even staff were denied tickets for AFC Wimbledon that wanted them, beyond the officials that had to be there, of course.
All right.
Anyway, any more questions?
No, that's it. Apart from someone, Ali Ross says pie.
Well, do you know what? This podcast is as long as the other podcast, nearly 1 minute, 1 hour, 20 minutes. All I'm going to say, look, if you're listening to this and you're one of the people that have either disagreed with me, because I know people either from WISA or from Hammers United or Away Season Tickets might be listening to this and they haven't usually listened to our podcast. Don't believe everything you read on social media. I will talk to anyone, either on the phone, on email, message, fine. There's some people will never believe whatever we've said tonight, they will believe. They think there's a conspiracy theory. You know, they're like flat earth people who you could take them up in a rocket ship, fly around the world and say, look, there's the globe. And they go, nah, sorry, I don't believe you. It's a flat earth.
Yeah.
I can't be any more. We can't be any more. Well, we could probably. The club could be more transparent. But whether you can believe me or not believe me, we've shared what happened at that meeting. Whether you believe us or not is a matter for you. We might not agree on everything, but at the end of the day, the reason the away season tickets is such an emotive subject is there is not enough tickets to go round.
Yeah, I mean. My last, you know, my little ending monologue will be that, in a way, the SAB gets its stick for a reason, in that what's gone in the past, and there's a certain section, and I was one of them, I would never think that what the club does with the SAB is quite right. The way the club have made a rod for its own back in the way they run the SAB. It's not necessarily the people's fault on the SAB. It's the club's fault. And that mistrust you can see is evident there, and it don't matter what people say. I was upset, you know, people that I thought knew me sort of lumped me in with you lot. which obviously, you know, comes with the territory sometimes of being your friend. But I thought they'd trust me more than they did, perhaps I feel they did, despite their protestations.
And just to, you know, just to clear something up, that I personally invited Nigel. No. All people who applied for the OSB were given a chance to apply to go on this. There was no favouritism. I didn't just pick Nigel and hand-pick five people. A number of people were given the chance, and some have publicised that and said, yeah, they were invited, but they decided not to. I think Dan Coker was one of the ones who said he was invited, but he couldn't make it, so he had something on. So, you know, look, I can't... It's hard to argue with conspiracy theorists. Is it perfect? No. But you look at any club in the Premier League and they will want to do a certain amount of things their way. And consultation, you've got to try and make the best consultation you can. Some clubs will, and West Ham included, will do what they want to do. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're FSF or SFA affiliated, whether you're independent or whatever. At the end of the day, the club will make a decision that's best for the club.
Yeah, I mean, to use that, to pick that up, what I would say is it would have been better if I weren't there. It would have been better if Whistle or Amers United were there. But for whatever reason, in my opinion, they've made a decision to not engage with the club. The club don't have to sit down with them. The club have set up a fans forum and they are invited to take a seat. Now, the club is not going to talk. They know, and this is the thing, it's the club's rules. It's they own the club. They dictate the thing. You can write as many letters to the Premier League and to the FA you like and to the Football Supporters Federation. The club are not going to change. If you want to sit and talk with them, you've got to do it by their rules. I don't like it, but that's the fact of life. That's why I walked in there. The fact is that Whistler and Amers United, they want to know what's gone on. They can criticise me, you, whoever, all they like. What I find funny is they criticise the people that have gone out to the fans, where all the others have kept quiet, kept their head down. Don't get no stick, do they? Amers United and Whistler, if you want to know what's going on, if you wanted to be able to give your point of view, you have to sign up and join. That is it. You can send as many emails to Jake Heath as you like. That's all you're going to get. You're going to get that standard crap email back saying, well, we think this and we think that. If you want to talk to the people directly, and that's what why I was always on the SAB, because it afforded me the access to Brady to tell her what I thought of her. It afforded me the access to Galt to tell him what I thought of him. That's what you got to do. And the quicker that they actually see that and realise, I think the better fan representation at West Ham will be. Because it shouldn't be left to the likes of me to walk into a meeting. Because I walked in thinking it would be in good faith. And, you know, I thought I was going to write an article on West Ham till I die explaining it. And I ain't, because too many people just give me so much stick. I thought, well, why the fuck should I bother? And you know that. I told you, I was like, mate, never see me again. I will never, ever put myself up again.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got one last thing to say. It's not a ticketing podcast. It's a football podcast. And with that...
Well, I hope you've enjoyed it, people. I hope you stuck with it and we haven't bored you to sleep.
We are all West Ham at the end of the day. You know, whether you support one independent group or another, or member of the OSB or you don't give a shit about anyone. We're all West Ham and we're all here to support our club and move it forward. So I've been Sean. Nigel has been.
Nigel.
And it's good night.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.